Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Awakening to Miracles. I'm your host, Sherry Lane. Thank you for listening in. This is an add-on episode to Tuesdays, which was so full of callers that I felt kind of rushed at the end. And I think some people, because of their weights and didn't think they would get through, they went ahead and hung up. And so it was a back-to-back show from beginning to end with lots of callers. So I thought I would do this second show for the week. I'm not sure how long it will last time, but I did just want to do the add-on for anyone that does want to call in, and also for a few things that I wanted to talk about and got a little rushed out of. So let's see. This is a continuing series of calling on angels, remembering to ask. And I'm doing these just until I have the feeling that another topic comes along. But right now, I strongly feel that angels are wanting to get through to us, and that they're, you know, we continue as we've gone through the last few years to go through phases and phases of unwinding and awakening and opening, and angels are there ready, and especially when we go through some of these critical shifts, they're there for us. And it's very easy, even when you're very spiritual and when you've become accustomed to calling on angels, it's very easy to forget to specifically ask them. And when we don't ask them, their hands are kind of tied because we have free will. And unless we're asking for their help, in many cases, they can't really intervene unless it's like some life or death situation that's not supposed to be part of our plan that has come on along, say, perhaps because of somebody else's free will and actions. And they can intervene in situations like that, but not just in day-to-day so much, unless we ask them, so that our free will isn't overridden by their actions. So angels and spirit are coming through very strongly. But before Tuesday's show, I had the feeling right before the show that there was a spirit that wanted to get through. And it did come up a little bit on one of the calls, but I really didn't get into it all that much. So I'm going to do that here on today's follow-up show. And that spirit was St. Francis of Assisi. And I just felt him before the show, felt like he was wanting to speak and give us bits of wisdom that could be helpful in our journey. You know, any of those ascended masters that have walked this walk can give us great guidance because they know what it's like to be in this body experience and trying to also hold on to heavenly ways. So, you know, we know St. Francis very well because of his connection to animals. And so I feel like what he was wanting to tell us this week is to stay connected to animals and renew that connection, get out in nature, talk to the animals and birds and dolphins, whatever in nature, all of these beings that can help us either by showing up in symbolic ways to give us information or just feeling their energy. So when you have an encounter with an animal in nature or just an animal in your life, pause and feel their energy. They can bring great energy to us, and they can also offer wisdom. One of the ways when you're in nature and you begin to see, you have encounters with animals that are kind of unusual, maybe more pronounced than they should be or than they normally are, and where you have this feeling like that there is this connection and like they're there for a reason, one way you can discern what that reason might be is to look up animal symbolism and Native Americans or ancient cultures always turn to animals for their wisdom, and they can represent different things based on what is usual or normal for that animal in their course of life. You know, for instance, I've talked about the hawk a lot because that's something that I see in very deep spiritual times, and the hawk can see far greater than we can because they rise up to a very high level, but their vision is also extremely keen compared to ours. I think it's supposed to be about 8 times greater vision than we as humans have. And they also can see from that higher perch. And I talked about how angels see that way. They're sort of, imagine them at a very high place, so they can see far in a way more than we can. So whatever that animal's gift or their inclination or their nature in this life can give us symbolism as to what is Spirit is trying to tell us. So you can gain so much when you, if you notice, say, you know, that you're seeing a squirrel a lot. You know, we see squirrels, a lot of us see them a lot anyway, but if you have these up close and personal encounters where maybe they're coming up to you closely and they don't feel afraid, and so pay attention to those things because the animals will help us, and their energy can be very strengthening for us, and their wisdom and the things they tell us can be very affirming. A couple of days ago on a walk, and it was middle of the day, it wasn't at dawn or dusk, but it was right in the middle of the day, maybe 1 in the afternoon, I saw a big doe just right in the neighborhood, right in between 2 houses, just grazing. And I just paused for a second, and I, you know, always give the animals their respected space so that you don't frighten them, but there was just this calm pause, and she didn't run off. She just looked at me, and it was a very peaceful feeling, and I just tried to look at her and absorb her energy, and we can get wisdom and also just get our energy revived with animals, and I think that's what St. Francis was wanting to say this week and wanting us to remember as a way for us to retreat in nature in an even bigger way and use that wisdom of nature. I mentioned on Tuesday's show that in my book, Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles, I had a really up-close encounter with St. Francis shortly after what I call my big awakening, where I could see so many things and had so much what felt like just divine knowledge, and everything in life seemed perfect, and it's just a place you want to be if you can. And shortly after that, when these gifts started opening up in me, gifts of healing and vision and angelic connections, and as it was beginning to happen to me, I could hear these whispers and voices, and it got these distinct feelings of messages. But I was pretty much all alone, other than a friend or two that was willing to listen and was sort of part of it. But there weren't anywhere near as many outlets to explore and to say, hey, what is happening to me? There weren't nearly as many people that had had those kind of experiences. So I was having to walk through this alone and kind of just figure it out on my own. And I was away on a trip. I went to the beach for kind of an extended stay, you know, a getaway. And my kids were off in school at the time. And so I was away on this trip at the ocean. And I was feeling a presence in the condo that I was staying at. And I felt like it was St. Francis, but, you know, then in my logical earth ego brain, I was thinking, well, that's just silly. How can that be? How could I know, you know, my brain's just playing tricks on me. So I had a couple of different oracle card decks from Doreen Virtue. I had one that was, I think it was Saints and Ascended Masters or Angels and Ascended Masters. I can't really even remember. I'm not sure if I even have that deck anymore. But so I had two or three decks like that, and I just picked one. And as I sat there, when I picked it was when I felt like it was St. Francis. And, you know, when I just tried to ask, who is this? So I went ahead and opened the box and pulled the cards out and shuffled and shuffled and shuffled. And then I turned one over, and sure enough, the card was St. Francis. Because when I felt that of St. Francis, I was saying, I know I'm a doubter. You have to show me. You have to show me in a big way, because I feel this, but it seems kind of crazy to me, and I just need that affirmation. And I was sort of apologetic, like, I'm so sorry that I just need something more. I need something big to sort of prove it, I guess. And so sure enough, the St. Francis card came up, and I was really, in that moment, already blown away, until I looked down, and I was in a condo that I think it was on the 14th floor, and it was in the fall of the year. And it was just beautiful weather, cool, wonderful. You didn't need any air conditioning on or anything. And I had the sliding door to the balcony just slightly open for the fresh air. You know, open maybe like 3 inches. And so I was sitting over at the dining room table. You know, the balcony was by the living room, and then there was sort of the dining area and then the kitchen. But I was sitting at the dining room table when I pulled this card, and so I was blown away that the card was indeed St. Francis, because that's who I felt was there when I was saying, who is here? I feel a presence. And so I was kind of testing myself to see, am I just crazy, or is this connection real? And so as I drew the card and I was just sitting there kind of stunned, I looked down at my foot, you know, right around my chair, and about, I don't know, less than a foot from my foot, maybe 6 or 8 inches, was a sparrow. And that sparrow had, out of all those condos and all that, had hopped across the living, hopped through the little tiny opening that of the sliding glass door, and all across maybe 12 feet inside that condominium, and was right there at my foot, sitting at the table. And if you've ever followed the story of St. Francis, you know, often he's depicted in statues or in art with sparrows, because the legend and the story goes that he would actually talk to the animals, and he preached sermons to the animals, or he would talk in sort of a sermon style, and animals would just gather around, and specifically the sparrows for one of his sermons, just loads of them, hundreds or thousands, just gathered around, just naturally. And so that we often see him with the sparrow. And so that sparrow came right to my foot, and I just kind of froze, and I just held that moment and that energy. And then I just looked at that little sparrow, and I said, thank you. for being my messenger. And as soon as I said that, he turned around, and not in haste or fright or anything, he just kind of hopped back across through the living room, probably. Like I said, it was a pretty good sized space, maybe 12 feet that he hopped right across and went right through the opening of the door and out. And so that was one of those moments for me that really deeply and strongly said, oh yes, this is real. This is very real. And it helped solidify my journey and cast aside any doubts about these gifts and why they were being opened in me and that I did need to use them and follow. So again, that story and some others like it from that time are in my book, Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles. You can get it on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. And on Amazon, you can read a few chapters, an excerpt, and that's a good way to find out if it's speaking to you, or just by this story I was telling, if that speaks to you, go look at the book and see if it resonates further with you, because I feel like that is part of my sharing and part of what I was supposed to do, just write it, put it out there, and so many times people find it in such random ways, and then they email me afterwards that there was just something about it, they didn't know what, but it just awakened something in them. And I really believe that that's the reason I was led to write it and guided to write it. And that's why I put it out there, that it can awaken people when they're at that moment of being ready. And I don't even know how. I don't know what words or phrases, but somehow it's like a little bell in a lot of people. And it just, all of a sudden, it strikes some kind of chord that awakens them. And I do think we have some of those little built-in triggers to awaken us again when we're ready and when it's time to remember our purpose and remember who we are, and we have those little things built in. So do go check that out on Amazon, Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles, and read the excerpt and see if it works for you or how it feels. We're going to get into, we've got a couple calls, and the first one is from area code 770. So I'm going to put you on the air. You'll hear kind of a computer voice. I think it says unmuted, and you'll know you're live. If you want a reading, if you don't want a reading, if you're just listening on your phone like happens sometimes, then you can just tell me you don't want a reading. That's fine. But if you do want a reading, I usually ask for first name and if you have any specific question. And how it works for me, I begin to see little images, and then I just somehow have this way of putting the images together to a message. And so it's very cool how quickly they can get some messages through to us in that manner. So Erica at 770, you'll be live any second now.
Hello, this is Sandy.
Hi, Sandy. How are you today?
Fine. How are you doing?
Doing well. So 770, you're around Atlanta area, I guess.
Right? Yes.
Or were. Is this a cell phone?
I'm actually down in Florida right now.
Okay, but your phone is from Atlanta, right?
Yes, it definitely is.
I lived in that area for about, I don't know, 16, 17 years. So for a long time after I moved back to my hometown in North Carolina, I still had my 770 area code. And were you there when it went through the whole area codes of 404, 770, 678, and all the changes?
Yes,
I was. Well, I still, even though when I'm in places that you don't have to dial the area code, if you're, you know, having to actually dial a number, I still dial the area code every time because of living in Atlanta. So, okay, so what part of Florida are you in right now?
I'm around Tallahassee.
Okay, well, my son is in St. George Island, so
I was thinking about that. Far. Today, thinking about going over there.
Oh yeah, it's a cool little place, I think, a little tucked away spot. So, okay, well, do you have a question for me today, Sandy?
Yes, I do. I was wondering, my husband and I have been through a lot of struggles lately, and it just he's still in a struggle with the whole situation, and I was just wondering how he's going to get help, where he's going to get it from, what you see.
Okay. All right. Well, the image that I got, and I'm not sure that I've ever seen one quite exactly like this, although it's a very simple kind of object and simple image. I saw a box, like a cardboard box, like a packing box, like if you were moving. And a lot of times I'll see boxes, like it might be like a little wooden box with a hinged opening. This one specifically looked like a packing box, like you're moving. And like it had the tape on it and everything. And then it started opening up. And so how I was translating that as you were talking, what it feels like to me is that there's something to be opened up and unpacked. And when you said about your husband and I guess he's going through some struggle or uncertainty, what I was feeling was that there are some things he's stuffed away that he's going to need to unpack, or else they're being forced to be unpacked. So I don't know if he has something from like past or family or childhood that he's sort of put away and suppressed that now is resurrecting. Is that possible, that there's anything like that going on?
I think so. It sure has caused us a lot of problems.
What more specifically is he struggling with right now? Is he just, is it like just uncertainty about what he wants to do, or what's going on there in a nutshell?
Well, there's all kinds of things. It's like our relationship got off track.
Okay.
And it's just like he doesn't know how to get it back himself back on track, I think, with me.
Okay. Is there any kind of addiction or anything going on, or struggle that way?
Well,
like maybe like drinking issues, or is he going through any of that kind of struggle?
Well, he had an affair.
Okay.
And that supposedly, after I discovered it, I just told him, no, you're not going to do this, or I'm not going to be around. But the thing is intimacy is almost not there.
Okay. So you're trying to rebuild trust. That's okay. I feel like his struggle, his affair, all of that relates to what I was seeing with that box and things being packed away. Like I think there's some kind of void in him. I don't know what his maybe his mother or his parent relationship. I feel more specifically mother, and that does he have a good relationship with his mother, or did he, or what is that like?
Well, his mother, I mean he thinks he had a wonderful relationship with her, and he didn't with his dad. But
okay.
I think that truthfully she was very manipulative in a quiet sort of way.
Okay. I felt like, and this is not one of those blame the mom, blame the dad kind of things. It's not like that at all. It's more like a picture of where he is and where he might be able to move forward. I feel like there is some kind of connection to his searching out and the affair that is sort of mother related. And if you're saying, well, maybe she was manipulative, he felt, you know, it may be a situation where, you know, when he was young, she was very controlling. And so even though she was very protective, and that in a sense was a good thing, and they were close, like there's some kind of either too strong a tie, or even I'm feeling kind of like almost like an inner resentment. And so it's created this dynamic with females maybe that is a little off, that he might be able to heal and sort of get in a better place from. So it's not like anybody did anything wrong, or, you know, because society dictates a lot of things too. But it's like there's some kind of wound there, or some kind of something that he needs to let go of that's been packed away, or
his father is totally controlling.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe it's more from that. Maybe his father was controlling and the mother sort of protected him, and there's something he's soothing through, you know, female. And the reason I asked addiction is a lot of times those kinds of hurts, we self-medicate with some sort of an addiction, you know, sometimes it can be food, it can be women, it can be alcohol, drugs, whatever. And I felt like maybe he's in that place of soothing, and that's really, it's not about you why he went out and sought some other, it's soothing some kind of void that he can't seem to touch. Now, is there any, do you know of any, was there abuse growing up for him, like physical abuse?
I feel like there was abuse. It wasn't exactly physical. It was, he was sent away to a boys' school, I mean, one of those boys' ranches, because he wasn't doing what he should have, but, you know, his parents weren't protecting him against his younger brother. His younger brother was being abusive.
Abusive to him. Oh, okay. Okay. So, well, of course he's got these wounds. That's tough. Your younger brother, you get sent away, and that's got to be kind of scary for a kid. How old was he at that time?
Oh, shoot. I would say he was 16 probably.
Okay. All right, and what that created for him is he was sent away. That's a rejection. That's a, you know, you're bad, we're sending you away. I feel like some of the grounds for him being sent away weren't really fair, that he kind of got the short end of the stick, and maybe, you know, that was kind of unfair. But he got sent away feeling guilt that really has never left him. And that's why I was seeing the box closed up with, like, you know, shipping tape, and then the tape being pulled off and it opened. Because he's got that feeling just packed down in him of somehow he did something wrong, or he needs to be punished, but, you know, because he was sort of punished when he was sent away. And he's kept that feeling like he's bad and needs to be punished, but it wasn't really fair or justified. But, you know, we hold on to things. Sometimes we hold on to the bad and not the good. You know how that is? Like, you know, somebody can say good things about you and you hear them, but then somebody says one bad thing and that's the thing you hear the most, and that's the thing you can't let go of. And that's, he's packed away this sort of feeling. And I think that he's in the process of letting it go, and it's just causing him conflict. I believe he's a good person, and from what I feel, he loves you, and that what he was doing was not about you. It was about trying to fill some kind of void. And I don't know, is he spiritual at all? Will he venture into you know, things like meditation or kind of that spiritual help, self-help type thing? Will he do much of that?
Well, I think he believes in it. He used to meditate, but you know, he's just been so busy, and then you add a job on it where he's got an abusive boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny how we get attracted to what we're feeling or what we have felt. And if he was in that situation, then, you know, it can be really frustrating in life, because you think, why do I keep having this kind of thing over and over? And it can be two things. One, that's sort of what we're attracted to because that's what we know and that's what we feel. That becomes our vibration, and so we attract it. But the other thing is we continue to repeat those patterns sometimes. Those keep being presented to us so that we can heal them and let go of them and overcome them once and for all. So it's sort of like a reminder that, well, this is going to keep happening until you clear it and deal with it. I would suggest for him, I'm feeling like some meditation and even some cord cutting and, you know, maybe even some past life type regression. He might even have some wounds that were here about that beforehand that sort of predisposed him. But I would think the cord cutting from the guilt could be very effective. But if he can just do some meditation and, you know, even if that's all he does, just getting some peace and asking to let go of any of that guilt surrounding that, I think it's going to give him a new level of peace. I really do. So I don't know. You know, it's hard when you call and a lot of your call is about someone else that's around close to you because you can't really make decisions for them about what they will do or won't do. But if there is a way to suggest that to him, that sort of meditation and asking to let go of that baggage related to that episode and that part of his childhood, I think it will help him, like, be restored again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they even made him go through all kinds of counseling or be kicked out of the house, you know. His brother was doing this thing of making him angry just to get to him. And he was doing it.
Yeah, so then he would blow up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pushing his button. And, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so irritating. Yes.
And the thing
that's
was
a very frustrating situation. Yeah.
When I met him, that was happening, and I showed it to him. I said, "This is what he's doing. Just stop reacting," and he did. And so his brother started in trying to make his cousins mad at him, and that didn't work. So he totally ignored him, but Mom and Dad allow it, you know?
He can release this, and that's what that box taped up, was that he has shut this away for, you know, because it's a painful thing to him. So that's how we all do. We pack it away and tape it up and hope that it never comes back. But it's going to linger there like baggage for him, like this heavy moving box he's carrying around. And he can release it. I really believe he can. And if he will, you know, you can maybe share some of this with him or have him listen, you know, in the archives to the call even. But I think it can help him to do some kind of release like cord cutting. And I feel for him because I feel like he's this sweet, bright soul. And he got kind of knocked around and treated unfairly. And there was, you know, some, like you said, some games going on. And, you know, he got painted to be the bad guy. And he carries that with him a whole lot. Now, what I would say to you is, and I don't give relationship advice, like, you know, so much. But what I'm feeling from your end is if you can, you know, I don't want to say forget about the affair. You know, I mean, you have to decide for yourself how important that is. But the way I'm seeing it and from, like, spirit and angels is that it's really insignificant. It's about healing the man and not about the specific act. And if you can find it in your heart to just love him right now and be that angel for him and suggest some of these things for him, you have a wonderful person there. And he's just had some wounds early on that he's been carrying around with him a long time.
Well, and the thing that bothers me, though, is he's just cut me off.
He's packing it away. You know, he's packing things away and sealing it up. And, well, right now, if he's cut you off, you may just have to be at a distance and love him and be sort of his earth angel that tries to just surround him in good energy, whether you're directly in front of him or not, and say a prayer and ask angels to be there for him. And if you can suggest some things, you know, maybe a book or some meditation, and if he picks up on it. But I think by you just being light and being there, and whether you say anything or not, just giving off that feeling of absolute forgiveness and love, he's going to feel it inside. His spirit will feel it, and that's the best thing you can do right now for him and really even for you, so that you don't harbor, you know, being hurt and have resentment, you know, just this feeling of peace about him, and you let that flow out, and it's like that, you know, when we put out that light, it doesn't really matter what we say or do as much as we're putting out that light of love, and that's what you can do right now.
Okay, and we're in the process of he's getting ready to try to change jobs, and I think her being still around in the picture is not good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she works with him, and I think she tries to communicate with him.
I think something's going to shift in that area, whether it's a job or somebody, her leaving the job or him getting shifted in. I feel like there's a shift coming.
Well, and we're trying. He's getting ready to put his resume out to different jobs.
That feels good to me. Yeah, I feel like yes, kind of a yes on that. Like that's good. There's going to be a shift that changes his environment a little bit.
Yeah, because I mean, he needs a different job. This place is mm-hmm. is sick.
Yeah, put the resumes out, and I think I feel positive vibes about that. Like that's good, and opportunities will come up. And what you can do is truly, I say it again, be the earth angel. Just put out prayers and light, and ask angels for help, and feel that unconditional kind of love for him. You know, just like he's a soul that's been wounded, and you're going to be his healer, you know, whether directly or indirectly, because you're going to hold the light for him. So, and while you do it, you're healing yourself from any of the hurt that's occurred about it, too. So, that's what you can be, and I know you can do it, Sandy. I know you have that light to do it.
Okay. I appreciate it.
If you get over to St. George Island and you see somebody named Brandon, that's my son, you tell him hi and that you know me. Okay.
What's he doing there?
He works at the Blue Parrot restaurant right there on the beach.
Oh, okay.
A bartender and server there, and he loves the island, so it's a cool little place down there. And also, he's dark hair. He's
dark hair,
dark eyes. Yes. His name's Brandon.
Okay.
If you mention his name, you know, all the locals know him. Oh, and also there's a new place down there, Patty's Raw Bar, that his best friend, Pat, is opening up. It's going to open up any day now, and he'll be involved with that too. So they're getting all the finishing touches on that place, and it's over on the bay side, but it's going to be a really cool little place. So when you get over that way, if you run into Brandon, say hi. Tell him you know me.
Okay.
You have a great day, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, yes, that call, I could feel her husband's pain that was packed away. And the good thing about that is, though, he's at a place where he has an opportunity to open up that packed away pain and let go of it and unpack that box and let go of it and be restored from it. And I think she's going to be his helper and his angel in that. And what a cool opportunity for her and healing opportunity for her and for him. So that's a great call. I knew there was a reason I wanted to do another show this week. I don't normally do two in a week. I knew there was something lingering that, or some listener that would get through that it could be an important message for, and I think that was the one. So, if anyone else wants to call in, the number is 347-633-9823, and because this is an add-on show, it's probably going to be a shorter version. I'm going to wrap it up here in the next bit if there aren't any new callers. But if you do want to call in, these readings are quick, that they can bring you to the heart of the matter pretty quickly. And some of the other things I do, if you want to explore that, and, you know, I know sometimes calling into a show like this can be a little scary and even too personal. You know, people don't want it out there when they're getting their reading. And if you would prefer to have a more full-out reading and on a private call, I do offer that service, and on my webpage, sherrilane.com, sherrilane.com, you can go to that page and click on the energy healing and the services, and it will tell you about what I call manifesting with angels sessions that I do over the phone, and amazing things can come from them. Sometimes it's a visit from a loved one who's crossed over and is wanting to give you some assistance because they're familiar with the situation from their life in it with you. And sometimes it's angels or ascended masters. And, you know, often it's just guidance of what to do now, like things that might be the most beneficial. You know, I recently recommended to someone past life regression session, and I recommended another person to do it, and it was an author that I was somewhat familiar with and had become really kind of entranced by her work and amazed by some of her work. And so I recommended, I said, I think this person would be good for you in doing this regression. Didn't recommend myself. It was someone I knew fairly, you know, well enough that I usually don't like to do those sort of things for people that I know too well, because I don't want my own knowledge to interfere, and I don't want to doubt that in myself. But anyway, it ended up being something really, really valuable to her and amazing. And so, you know, these sessions, when you take that step to open up in a bigger way, it's like a green light to angels and spirit, and they will find a way to come through and get the right messages to you. So you can take a look at that, the services that I offer, and email me if you'd like to set up a private session. They're really cool and amazing. And other ways you can connect with me, you on that website, sherrilane.com, you can link to my Facebook and Twitter. And my Facebook fan page is called Seeing Miracles Every Day, and it has become kind of my central place for daily communication. I put thoughts for the day from A Course in Miracles on there about every day. I put other images and ideas or thoughts that I have all along the lines of positive spiritual thought and angels and spirit and how all that comes together for me. And it has grown, without advertising, it's grown to 350-something thousand people over the course of the last few years that I've been doing it. And I always think of it and see it as this place where all of these light-minded souls connect, whether it's just a quick connection daily or even weekly. But we're connected that way. And when we share those positive thoughts and sort of gather in that space via the internet, we're still gathering in our hearts and in that space of love. And I always think that by that connection with other like-minded souls, light-minded, by that connection, each of our light is strengthened. So if you haven't already joined that page, please do, and participate and respond if there are things that resonate with you. And I've also found that, you know, if there's a page like that, and you want it to come up more frequently on your news feed because of all the crazy things Facebook seems to be doing lately with news feeds and what you see and what you don't see, you know, click like on things so that the algorithms show that that's a page you want to be more visible in your news feed. Another thing I've done is I set up an interest group, and you can search on Facebook for the directions to do that. It's very easy. Interest group, and I set it up like spiritual inspiration, and so I put the pages that I most like in that group, and then I can click on that that group tab, and it will bring up like a whole different news feed than my regular news feed. It'll bring up only those pages and likes that I want to come up, and so I scroll through that when I want a nice dose of inspiration. But, you know, social media is what we make of it. And, you know, I came to Facebook rather reluctantly 5 years ago, or maybe 6 years ago. And the only way I did it was I decided what it was going to be for me. It was not going to be a gripe session or a place to just, you know, gossip or talk about celebrities and politics and argue, and it was going to be very intentional for spiritual inspiration, and that's what I've been able to maintain, and it has been a real blessing to me. And so if you're active on Facebook, go to my page, Seeing Miracles Every Day, and be part of it. I welcome you there, and I know we're all strengthened from that connection. So it's been a great little extra show here this week. Thank you to Sandy, and I hope that message that she got will be helpful to her. Connect with me at sherrylane.com. Check out my book and read the little excerpt on Amazon, Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles, and see if that resonates with you in your awakening process. And just go out and make it a great rest of the week and have a great weekend. Love and light to all of you. And I'm going to close with one of my favorite angel songs. I like songs that have angel references or in the title. And one of my favorites is Jane Seabury from the movie Pay It Forward, because I love that whole concept of paying it forward. And this is Calling All Angels, Jane Seabury. And this actually is a duet with Katie Lang. So enjoy it. Let the music just speak to your soul and your cells in your body, and let it lift you up so that you can make the rest of your day wonderful and the rest of your week. Love and light to you all. Thanks for tuning in.
How long and how far and how many times? Oh, before it's too late. Calling all angels, calling all angels, walk me through this.